today on Real Radio.
Trial causes a child of God to run to God. A temptation yielded to will cause a child of God to run away from the Lord. Trials come from the Lord. Temptations come from the world, Satan, or our flesh. Never confuse the two.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God's Priceless Cargo, Part 1, continues his series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Many years have gone by since the Apostle Paul first began his missionary journeys, and now Paul is sailing for Rome and for the end of his mission. In the message called Paul's Great Defense from Acts chapter 25 and Acts chapter 26, we found Paul giving his testimony in front of a crowd of thousands, including King Herod Agrippa. Paul's defense brought all of mankind on equal ground in front of God, and his account of coming to Jesus Christ told of Jesus being that Messiah that they'd always longed for. This outraged the people but did not deter Paul from sharing the gospel. Now, in the end, he would have been set free had he not appealed to Caesar in Rome. But that was all part of God's plan. And going to Rome in chains was the only way to accomplish that plan. Now, as we head into Acts chapter 27 with verses 1 through 38, those sailing with Paul to Rome are being prepared for what God has in store for all of them. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the men on board the ship with Paul have now been stripped of all they trusted in. Most of the cargo has been thrown overboard. We can live without food and water for a time, but we can't live without hope, even for a moment. And now, continuing his lesson called God's Priceless Cargo, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You know, when our Santa Ana winds blow, they originate over Idaho. Did you know that? At 60 to 80,000 feet. And then they descend across the Nevada desert and come through our pass and blow everything over. It's the same kind of a deal, except this one is associated with water because the wind stirs up the water into the atmosphere. It's a typhoon. And it's coming from the very direction they need to go. That cracks me up. Is this too obvious or what? Don't you want to go to heaven? Why do we always say, I don't think I'm going to make it? Because of the wind, because of the difficulties. We've got to keep our eyes on who it's coming from. That's 99% of the victory right there. This word, euroclodron, is a half Latin, half Greek word, and it can also be translated. This sounds like an old farm boy talking. It can be translated a northeasterner. Yep, that's what it is. Listen, the storm coming from that very direction meant two things. It was coming from the path that they had to head into, number one, and number two, it was God's will that they make it to their prescribed port, and yet they're in a wind. As Christians, our storms will come from the very direction where we're heading, heaven. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It means He's working with you. He's bringing us to the end of ourselves that we'll trust in Him. And by the way, God will make sure that we get to port, guaranteed. Another thing I want you to keep in mind here is that Paul kept a line of communication open to God. And this is, to me, the most important thing about all this. It says in verse 15, so when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. Let who drive? Some girl on the boat. They let her drive. No. The ship was on her own. They couldn't handle her anymore. That's probably a pretty scary feeling. And so they let the ship go. They let her run her course. It says, verse 16, and running under the shelter of the island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. They had a little dinghy hanging behind the back of the boat. They had to bring it in. It was either breaking up, filling up with water, somehow threatening the ship. And it says in verse 17, when they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship. They either sent chains or great ropes underneath the ship to pass over to the other side underneath the ship. Why? This is scary. Can you imagine being on this boat, on this ship? They passed the ropes underneath so the current would take it under. Then they grabbed him and brought him up, and they cinched the belly of the ship together with ropes so it wouldn't fall apart. You know, like a Huck Finn thing. Can you imagine in a typhoon? Here's Paul and the guys. Paul was an exciting guy to travel with. Watch what happens. It says, middle of verse 17, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Cetrus, or almost like a sandbar type of projection, they struck sail and so were driven. That means they're going away from where they're needing to go. They're going with the storm. And by the way, they'll go 500 miles off course by the time we get to the end of this. Verse 18, and because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship, throwing stuff overboard, no doubt grain and all kinds of stuff. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Any form of eating, or the things that supplied them for food, dump it. Now they have no means to catch food or any other of the vitals upon the ship. Things are getting serious here. Verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat upon us, all hope that we would be saved was given up. The situation stripped them of everything they trusted in. Have you ever been there? You're losing your house. You're losing your car. As painful as that is, it's nothing. These guys are in fear of losing their life. Maybe some of you are you're losing a loved one or a spouse or maybe a child or something, maybe to illness or something. Listen, isn't it strange? Have you noticed, people, that when those storms come into our lives, have you noticed what happens? Does the house mean anything anymore? Does the job mean anything anymore? You can call your boss and say, I'm going to be along her side in that hospital. You can fire me if you want, but I've got to be there. I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me, but I can't come in. My baby's on the brink of dying. It doesn't matter anymore. Why? The true, meaningful things of life come to the surface in a crisis. And it's okay to have things, and God has blessed us with things, and may He get all the praise and the glory for them. But when we begin to trust in those things and begin to think that, you know what, I just need to buy a bigger one, a shinier one, a faster one, and you somehow acquire self-assurance and confidence from that thing, you have deceived yourself. Paul says in 1 Timothy, those who pursue riches pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Why? It's not the riches that's evil. It's not the thing. It's what we affix to the thing. And when it melts, when it blows up, when it gets scratched, or when it's stolen, you're in a bad mood. You're all bummed out. Because your hope was in that thing. They have been stripped of all that they trust in. I'd like to see the face of the helmsman now. Everybody's probably looking back at him. Do you got it? I ain't got nothing. Even by now, the owner of the ship's probably thrown his calculator overboard. We're going under here. By the way, you know what sociologists tell us? That you can go, and physiologists as well, you can go a couple months without food and still survive. Doctors tell us you can go 8 to 10 days without water and survive. You can go 3 to 5 minutes without air and possibly survive. You know what? You cannot go 1 millisecond, 1 nanosecond without hope. Do you know that? It's a fact. Sociologists tell us. Psychologists tell us. Health professionals tell us when a person loses hope, it's over instantly. When a person loses hope, they take out a gun. Or they grab a bottle of pills. And they check out. What causes the trigger to be pulled is no hope. When a person loses hope, they're gone. Psalm 42, verse 5 says, "Why are you so downcast, soul?" David looks inside of his heart. He says, "Why are you so down and depressed? Why are you so disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for his help." The cure for suicide is Jesus Christ. Listen, they're in a trial here. This is not a temptation. A trial causes a child of God to run to God. A temptation yielded to will cause a child of God to run away from the Lord. Trials come from the Lord. Temptations come from the world, Satan, or our flesh. Never confuse the two. Very important. And look at Paul gives words of comfort. It says in verse 21, "But after long abstinence from food." That means many days have gone by. By the way, 14 days they have not seen the sun or the stars. Do you know what that means to a ship in a storm? No navigation. No navigation. They haven't seen the sun or the stars for 14 days, and they're being tossed by the wind. These guys are absolutely lost. But after a long time, Paul stands up in the midst of them and says, "Men, you should have listened to me." Excuse me, but the last thing I thought I said was, no, you know what? Paul is precious. He's not rubbing it in. Watch what he does. "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you," I'm asking you strongly, he's not breaking their arm, "now I urge you to take heart." Some of your old King James, excellent. "Hey, I urge you guys to cheer up." Who is this guy? Is this the guy with the yarmulke that 14 days ago? He's standing now. All of their hope is gone. Now the little guy stands up and goes, "Let's cheer up. I want to encourage you guys to cheer up." Who is this guy? He's not a captain. He's a prisoner. And God is taking this guy out of a storm-tossed ship in the midst of an insane ocean and making him the captain. Why? Because Paul saw God in everything. This guy is incurably excellent. He just focuses on the Lord. "Let's cheer up, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." Wow, that's a pretty prophetic word here. Look at verses 23 to 25 are absolutely a blessing. "For there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You," look, Paul, not the ship. "You, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God," you ought to underline that "it will be just as it was told to me." Paul was anchored in the midst of a storm to Christ. While the others were watching the ship fall apart, Paul was watching for God. People, we have no option but to do this very same thing. Will we do it? Will we do it? Paul says, "I believe in God. I believe in God." What a great message. There's something here for us right now. And I want to think about this for just a second. I know it's late, but you can't get out. We've just locked all the doors. But I'll wrap this up as quickly as I can. This is for your soul. We just had a pretty decent storm here a few days ago, or whenever this was, a week or so ago. And my backyard is full of birds. I have bird feeders out there, and I love that. I love to watch them, and it's great, and I love those guys. You know what? The least liked guy in the backyard is the same least liked guy in your backyard. It's that little sparrow. I mean, he just eats all the seed. You know, you want the real colorful guys to show up. But these little sparrows, there's a gazillion of them. And I looked up in the encyclopedia, and they are the most common bird in all the world. They're found everywhere, almost. And you know what? During the storms, where are these little guys? Yeah, you never see them. Somewhere they found a place to hide. Paul says, don't worry, you're not going to get lost. Jesus says, you know what? I care for the sparrows, but how much more do I care for you? Not one hair on your head's going to be harmed. That's a promise. But his response was, I believe in God. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe that he died and rose again for your sins? Do you believe that he took his sins upon him at the cross? Have you come to ask him into your life? Then you're saved. Your ship will not sink because it's in your heart. You're saved. You're precious cargo to God. Well, I don't feel saved, Jack. You know what? I don't care what you feel like. And when you say that, I've got to tell you, I don't know what being saved feels like. I've never had a goosebump concerning that thing. I just know that God says this. But Jack, I don't know. You know, I want to believe, and I love the Lord, but I just don't have that assurance. What has he said to you? Jot these down, and we will end. We actually might make it. Jot this down quickly. You may be thinking, my boat's leaking. Oh, yeah? Well, Romans 10:11 says, for the scripture says, whoever believes in me will not be put to shame. Romans 10:11. Well, my ship is sinking. It's not leaking. It's going down. Well, Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Can you do that? My ship is tossed in a storm, Jack. Well, Jesus said in John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears these words and believes in him who sent me will have everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed already from death to life. Jack, my ship is not leaking, it's not sinking, it's not even storm-tossed. My ship is missing. I'm lost at sea. Romans 10:8 says, but what does the scripture say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart. This is the word of faith that we preach, Paul says, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Isn't that amazing? Watch what happens. And we'll wrap this up. Drop down to verse 26. However, we must run aground on a certain island. But when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, or the Sea of Iconia, about midnight, the sailors, sensing that we were drawing near to some land, they could hear waves maybe hitting the shore in the storm, couldn't see it, that they began to take soundings and found that we were 20 fathoms. And then they had gone a little further, and they took soundings again and found that we were 15 fathoms. That means you're getting close to shore. We're going to hit rock here in a minute. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped the four anchors from the stern and prayed for the day to come. You bet those guys prayed? I don't know who they prayed to, but maybe they asked Paul, how do we pray? Quick, how do we pray? Who is it we pray to? Tell us. Verse 30. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, Paul said, stay on the boat. They're thinking about getting off the boat. When they had let down the skiff into the sea under a pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, there's some guys, they're going to jam. They're splitting, man. We're out of here. Paul said, verse 31, to the centurion and to the soldiers. Look, you got a centurion, soldiers, and sailors. The sailors are trying to make an escape. They're sneaking away with those lifeboats. Nice guys. Look what Paul says. Oh, by the way, unless these men stay in the ship, you're not going to be saved. Excuse me, centurion, see those sailors running away? If they run away, none of you guys are going to be saved. They got to stay on the boat. That's the deal. Isn't that amazing? Then the soldier cut the ropes off from the skiff and let it fall away. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day, and you've waited and continued without food and have nothing to eat. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival. They were probably, because of stress and everything else, near death or something, since not a hair of your head will fall. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God. He's praying on the ship in the presence of all of them. And when he had broken it, he began to eat it. Then they were all encouraged and also took bread among themselves. And in all, we were 276 people on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. You know what happened here, people? Paul was the only guy who had hope. They were committing a mutiny against their own lives, and they didn't even know it. Stay on the ship, you're going to make it. Get off the ship, you're going to die. Paul says, hey, cheer up. Here you go, let's eat. Can you imagine 14 days? They've been puking their guts out, probably. Paul says, you know what? We're going to be so saved. We better eat, because we're going to be landing soon. And what happened to the non-believers around them? Really? We can have hope? Really? You're eating bread like you're going to survive. Do you really believe it? I sure do. I believe in God. Great. Give us some bread too. And they were saved. Saved temporally, yes. But did some of them come to faith in Christ later on? Who knows? Maybe all of them. We'll see. Let's pray. Father, your word. That's all we can say, your word is a light to our path. It's a lamp to the way that we travel on. Father, I pray in Jesus' name this morning, if there'll be any here storm-tossed that know you, that they would take heart in the message and find strength in this chapter. In the fact that they are priceless cargo to you. But Lord, there may be those this morning that do not yet know you and have this peace. And God, I pray that they would come to know such a thing. So Father, we ask you to move upon their lives and to touch them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God's Priceless Cargo, Part 1. Thanks for listening. And you know, when all hope was gone, Paul still encouraged the men to believe in what God had told him, that even though they are lost at sea, all of them will be saved. And like Paul, we too are precious in the Lord's sight. And it's God's desire that none of us will die in our sin, but will come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. God's Priceless Cargo Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. As we've journeyed through the book of Acts, there's one thing about the Apostle Paul that stands out more than anything else. Paul had a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. No matter what trial he was facing or how many times he went hungry or was beaten for the gospel's sake, he knew that nothing could separate him from the love of God. You know, God wants that kind of relationship with you and me. We're not here by accident. And only God can rescue us from our sin and shame. Now, if you've made a decision to follow Christ, or you're ready to open your heart and invite Him in, but you've got some questions, or you just want to know more of what a relationship with Jesus Christ really means, simply go to our website and tap on the tab that says Know God. That's spelled K-N-O-W, God. You'll not only find scriptures to support your decision, but Pastor Jack's also included a special video about what a commitment to Jesus Christ really means. So go to our website, that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and tap on the Know God tab. It'll even give you ideas on what to share with others about salvation. Again, it's the Know God tab, and you can find it right there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.